Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Best Brewers coverage. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by Concordia University Wisconsin Veterans Service Department. Dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. Go to cuw.edu/veterans. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Yes, it is. And it's time now to talk some baseball. Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, Adam. How you doing?
Hello. Yeah, I got to figure out how to watch this Bucks game while also covering a Brewers game.
I would assume, I mean, I've been there in years past where they had one, like the Bucks on one screen and the Brewers game on the other screen in the press box, right?
Yeah, that used to be a big no-no when John Greenberg was in charge of the press box.
Right.
But our friend Mike Vassal is a little more forgiving. So there's one TV that we turn it on, so we'll be able to check it out. We were flying, Todd Rosiak and I were flying home from Atlanta during the last game, and there was no... They didn't have it on any of the TV, so the pilot was giving us updates on the last one. So people were into it. People
nice.
Were definitely wanting to follow along. Yeah.
I want to talk about this last road trip. They come back at 500. They had an opportunity to come back better than that, but you kind of just take 500 on the road, don't you? I don't think it was that bad of a road trip.
Well, look, to me, Sunday was sort of one of those sort of markers in the ground in the course of this Brewers season, because when that schedule came out last fall, I think what caught my eye was April, all those games against the Cardinals and Dodgers. Remember, 17 games against the Cardinals and Dodgers in April alone. And then I think in May, there was this trip. This is their only 10-game road trip of the season, and it was against three teams that I think we're widely expected to be good and are pretty good. The Cubs, Phillies, and Braves. So the Brewers get through that April part with the Dodgers and Cardinals. This longest trip of the year. Every trip now is nine games or fewer. And they are on a 92 win pace. So, look, I mean, if you wanted better than 92 wins, you're a little disappointed. If you think 92 wins will get you in it, you probably feel like they're in good shape. And I think that they feel like they've weathered kind of this early season what the schedule gave them in pretty good fashion. And I'll say the one thing about that road trip, 5-5, the part of that that stands up to me as better than 500 is the way that they pitched. And it feels like that's gotten settled down a little bit, whether it was Gio Gonzalez coming in or Brandon Woodruff getting going or a little bit of both. It feels like they're in a much better place as a pitching staff right now, and I think that bodes well going forward. And now the schedule is, look, it's not, I said this the other day, there's no easy games, but just on paper it's a little less grueling, a little more forgiving in terms of off days, and if you look at some of the opponents. It's a lot of Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. There's Marlins, there's Giants, there's Mariners come to Miller Park. So it's just, look, they you got to go out and play those games and win those games and play well. Yeah, but it just looks a little less grueling.
The comments that were made, now I kind of wanted to discuss this with you. I've been looking forward to this ever since I heard the comments. But the other day you heard Corbin Burns say, I believe it was on Friday, and he said something about he originally didn't get sent down because it was his stuff. He got sent down because it was the wrong pitch, called the wrong pitch at the wrong time, and then goes out and gets shelled. My question is, didn't it seem like, at least the way I took it was, is that, he's just throwing the pitches. The guy calling him behind the plate is the one at fault, not me. Did it seem like that to you? Because I thought, boy, if that's – because – karma came back. If that was the way it was, karma came back and bit him in the ass big time, going two-thirds of an inning, giving up seven runs. But it seemed like it was just that was kind of a cojones-filled statement, wasn't it?
I didn't even see that, Bill. That wasn't a conversation with me. When I've talked to him, he's always taken full responsibility for missing location. I think when I spoken to him about his trouble, especially with the home run ball. I think it's that he's throwing fastballs where guys can hit home runs. And, you know, his stuff is good enough to pitch in the big leagues. We saw it last season in relief. They still believe he's going to be a good starter. I think he still has the confidence that he's going to be a good starter in the big leagues. I'll tell you the statement that stood out to me a little bit in talking to Chris Hook when Corbin Burnes came back is the comment that Chris Hook made was maybe a little too much too soon in terms of putting him in the starting rotation. That comment came as a little bit of surprise. I thought that they were pretty all together on believing that he was ready to make that jump. But look, I mean, it comes down to executing pitches, which he has just not done. If you do the heat map of his home runs, they are in spots where the hitters want a fastball throw. And the other thing is that it just reminds me is pitching is hard. I mean, it is. And you want the guy to come up and succeed. But there are so many pitchers who have really good stuff and have really bright futures, just like Corbin Burnes does, and end up being good. And it takes them a while to get there. And I think we're just watching what pitching development is unfold before our eyes. This was a guy that was drafted in 2016. So in 3 years, he's logged much of a season. He's logged a lot of playoff experience. He's struggled as a starter, and now he's trying to get his feet back under him. He's had a lot of experience, and we are shy of his 3-year anniversary as a professional baseball player. So, you know, that stands out to me as just the guy. Give the guy a little bit of time to get through this, and I think he's still got a good pitcher.
Do you think then, after maybe making that statement, that if indeed it came out wrong, it's something that maybe he needs to readdress? Because that was the topic over the week on many of the local sports talk shows that I was listening to, that how could he say something like that? He's throwing his Yasmani Grandal under the bus. When you say wrong pitch at the wrong time, that usually means it's not you, it's somebody else, whoever's behind the plate or whoever's calling the pitches, maybe from the dugout. I just thought it was a very odd statement to make.
Yeah, but again, I have never gotten from Corbin Burnes excuse making, ever. If you've seen, you know, maybe it's a matter of a statement not reading the same way it came out of his mouth, because everything I've ever heard from him is taking full ownership of the good and the bad. And if he says wrong pitch, wrong time, I've never heard him blame a catcher. I've heard it, you know, it's the pitcher who's throwing the pitch and has got to be convicted in it.
I want to ask you about Travis Shaw as well. Travis Shaw, obviously, on the injured list right now. He's going to have some rehab time down in AAA by the time it's all said and done. You're hoping he kind of gets himself back. But what do you do with Travis Shaw if he doesn't even figure it out down in AAA?
I don't know. Bill, I really don't. I do know that he's a big part of their offensive production over the last two seasons, and it's a lot of power. It's good defense at third base. It's middle of the lineup. He's an important guy for them, and it's been a bad start to the season, and I think he's been, you know, again, you talk about taking ownership of failures. I think Travis Shaw, you know, you criticize his performance, but I think he deserves some credit for making zero excuses for it and trying to figure it out. So the idea is that he'll take BP today without any kind of flare-up. He'll go out tomorrow on a rehab assignment. And normally, you know, this is a guy who's missed, less than 2 weeks. Typically, that would be a short assignment. I wonder if they're just going to maybe let him play a little bit down there, let him hit and use this time at AAA as like a, you know, it's not a demotion because the injury happened, but use it like that. Use it as some time at AAA to kind of get a good feeling going again at the plate. I don't know. Travis hasn't shared, and the Brewers haven't shared sort of what their thinking is on the timing of that thing. But if you've got Keston Hiura producing in that spot, and you certainly have a third baseman, and Mike Moustakas is capable of playing that position, I don't know that there would be a lot of reason to rush this thing. Maybe you give him some time down there and let him get going. because when you bring him up, I said this in a little inbox that's on the site today where I answered some fan questions. I don't know how you fit Keston here and Travis Shaw, barring some kind of either expanding to another position player or somebody else going down with a medical issue. Because that the only spot that would make sense a little bit is that Eric Thames spot if you bring back Shaw in the Thames role. But Thames is producing for you against right-handed pitching. So I don't – to me, it just seems like a situation where maybe you let him play down there in the minors for a little bit longer than usual, and you push this thing past this homestand and into the next road trip and then kind of make a decision somewhere there on what you want to do with Travis Shaw. I don't think you give up on the production that he gave you if you can figure out a way to get that back, because he was a very valuable piece for them and part of a pretty good team last year.
Always good to chat, my friend. Enjoy it coming back. I know you're going to be watching the game tonight as well, both games, as a matter of fact, and then we'll see you soon, okay?
All right, sounds good, Bill.
All right, buddy, talk to you later. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.